Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It was our Lord Jesus who said of himself, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. This powerful messianic I am statement was spoken in the midst of grief, a grieving family. Two loving sisters had lost their beloved brother, Lazarus, Jesus' own earthly best friend. As Jesus speaks this powerful word of faith, he immediately asks a question of faith. To these two grieving sisters, he poses this question. Do you believe this? We gather on this magnificent early autumn morning to say, yes, Lord, we believe in the resurrection and the life. Yes, Lord, we believe in the triumph of wholeness over sickness. We believe in the triumph of goodness over evil. We believe in the promise of love over all. As we gather to remember and to celebrate the life of the Reverend Dan L. Brokaw, by the goodness of God, born May 30th, 1948, and in the mercy of Jesus Christ, received into the Father's house on September the 13th. May God grant us grace that in pain we find comfort, in sorrow hope, and in death resurrection. I delight in the promise given to us by God through the pen of St. John, the aged, mature St. John, now exiled on the Isle of Patmos. As a promise to believers, it's as though God himself parts the heavy curtain that separates earth from heaven, giving believers a visual picture of the world to come, the reward of faith. From the revelation of Jesus Christ to St. John chapter 21, these verses of hope. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men and women, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more pain, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto them that are thirsty of the fountain of the water of life freely. They that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be their God, and they shall be my children. And it is this promise that we claim now by faith that Reverend Dan is living. Brothers and sisters, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, our risen Savior, thou who hast gone on before us in death, Grant us the assurance of thy holy presence as we wrestle with the reality of death, that we, as your believing children, may confidently face the future in the sure and certain knowledge that thou hast prepared a place for all who love thee. And in this confidence, we pray as our Lord Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
I stand here as the district superintendent of the Atlanta Decatur Oxford District, but I also stand for our Bishop, Bishop B. Michael Watson. In times like these, it is so crucial that we come together as a family. And as a family, can you grab the hand of your neighbor? Because there is something powerful about touch. Let us go to God in prayer. Almighty God, we thank you, Lord, for this day. And God, we come as a day of celebration. Because God, you have promised us in your word that you have gone to prepare a place for us. And God, we know that the place that you have prepared, our brother Dan, is there with you. And Dan is even here with us as a part of those great cloud of witnesses looking down from heaven. Now, God, as we come as a body of Christ, we come as clergy, we come as family, we come as colleagues, we come as this church family. We come today, God, to remember Dan. And God, we remember him as a man who loved you. We remembered him as a man who loved music, as he would sing to you and as he led the choirs to lift up the name of Jesus. And so, God, we are here, even though we may be down and a little sorrowful and even tearful, we know that we are here because of you. And God, we pray, Lord, I pray, Lord, for this church family who has lost a loved one, who's been here some 30 plus years, standing before us, directing the music from heaven. Also, we stand as one who, through pastoral care, sat by many bedsides, whether it was at their homes or even in the hospital or the assisted living or even the nursing homes. And we thank you, Lord, for Dan's presence. We thank you for his smile. We thank you for his laughter. We thank you, Lord, for his love. Now, God, we come today as a witness, to witness his great life and also to know, God, that he is resurrected with you. Now, God, as we are here left, we pray that we can continue to remember him and to share with each other the love, the memories that we have of our brother. God, in this time, bring your comfort. Holy Spirit, bring your comfort. In Jesus' name, amen.
I can remember not that long ago, he was sitting right down there, burying his parents, listening to you sing that song. It's just as powerful. It's never sounded better, and I know he is praising God with you this morning and with all of us. I look out in this great, she said it, cloud of witnesses right in this room and in the other rooms where they're watching in overflow, and those who couldn't come and those who wish they could. It is like nothing else when I come into the walls of this church, hear the strains from this choir, look at these beautiful arches, and besides my own immediate family, almost every face I see, and some have become lifelong friends, I cannot separate from Conyers First United Methodist Church, and I cannot separate from Dan Brokaw, because even though he came the year after Deborah and I were married right here in this church in 1977, the memories that I have as a pastor and the memories that I have as a member of this church, along with four generations of my family, are tied inextricably to Dan Brokaw. The music that he led, the witness that he always and constantly and steadfastly gave forth, and his unyielding, uncompromising, and some of you know exactly what I mean, nature of some things.
Amen.
So I knew him as a person first, and then I knew him as a minister, and I don't know when I knew him as a friend, because I don't remember there being a day when the relationship changed. I remember being accepted. I remember being challenged. I remember arguing. I remember seeing his face so red he was so mad he could spit nails. You do too. All of you do. He could get so mad at you and hold a grudge for so long and within 15 minutes be praying for you in his office or at the altar and wondering why he was so mad. There were times he could not remember why he was so mad at me and he had to ask me. Eight years we served together here. Productive, powerful, formational, not just in my ministry, but in my life. He was the kind of example that we all should strive to be. I want to share with you some favorite verses that he had. Most of you know who they are, what they are. But first, I want to share the very opening words of the second chapter of Philippians. We used to talk about that epistle more than any other because it kind of drove how we chose to do ministry together. Hear these words. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with his spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should not look only to their own interest, but also to the interest of others. Will you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, with broken hearts and so many unanswered questions, we come as the Conyers First Methodist family, not even just Conyers First Methodist, but the whole community of Conyers, Georgia, before you, our Heavenly Father, to be healed, to be comforted, to be strengthened during this hour. By your grace, grant us forgiveness, mercy, and comfort. Hold us in this hour close to yourself. Help us to trust you. Help us to sort through mixed up and confused feelings so that we may face what we must in a triumphant way through our living Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we remember the one whom we have loved and who is now gone from our sight. We feel a profound loss. And so we turn to you, the eternal one, the resurrection and the life, to come among us this very hour. Father, forgive our sins of omission and commission. Yes. Deal with us tenderly. May your peace, which transcends all understanding, guard the hearts and minds of this large family as we rest in Christ Jesus, through whom we pray this. Amen.
Amen.
I really don't want to start the wave, but I just can't help myself. If you ever sang under the leadership or tutelage of Dan Brokaw as a child, as a youth, one of Dan's kids, would you stand if you're able? Awesome. No. Don't sit down. If you didn't come through the music program and still had the chance to sing as a chancel choir member, as a cantata participant, or any part of the musical ministry of this church in 34 and a half years, would you stand? Look around. There's not many of us left seated. All right, you may be seated. Listen, Dan loved you. He didn't love you because you joined the music program. He loved you because God loved you and because God told him to love all of his sheep. Now, make no mistake, he appreciated the help and the support, and he wanted more volunteers. He never had a big enough choir. Even when it overflows, it's never enough, but he rejoiced with what he had. And he caused us to as well. That's what I remember. I did a little word study, and it's not my strength anymore. But when we talk about the word rejoice, it has many derivations and a lot of roots. But the connotation that I want us to really hone in on this morning for a few minutes, and why I think it'll be easy when we're talking about Dan. Rejoice in so many ways means recognizing, acknowledging, and accepting the gift. Is that right? Recognizing and accepting the gift. And I want to submit to you that Dan Brokaw was a gift to us from God Himself. If that's the case, then what should we say about a lifetime that was dedicated to serving not the Christian church, not the Protestant church, not even the United Methodist church. Please forgive me. He loved Conyers First United Methodist Church. You know that, right? You know it in the very fiber of your being. You know he sacrificed. You know he gave up grander opportunities that were offered over the years. He was quite famous in some circles. He would never admit that. People would love to have had his leadership at their church, other churches in the North Georgia Conference. I got the call about his death, and please forgive me, but United Methodist ministers, you know what I'm going to say. I got the call during my annual evaluation at an SPR meeting. Now, after I didn't believe it, and after the immediate shock ran off, and the next day I said, "You did that on purpose." Some of the highest and lowest points in a Methodist minister's life happens, but in or around or as a result of staff parish relations meetings. Now, for those of you who are not in the Methodist church, don't worry about it. It's not important. But I believe with all my heart that he snickered when Scott McCord called me to interrupt that meeting. Now, let's go forward. The greatest gift that any person can ever receive is the salvation that comes from believing in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We're reminded that by our Lord's own words, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." That's John 15:13. And yes, it is Dan's favorite Bible verse. Did he ever quote it to you? If he didn't literally, he did figuratively, and he did it often. Quite obviously, God is a giving and a loving God. He's a God of mercy and grace. How marvelous indeed are his expressions to each of us. And I think this morning he uses some of us in a more powerful and public way than others to express that great love. And that, in my view, is the epitome of Dan Brokaw, his ministry and his life. Our blessings from God are so numerous and so rich that we are made to testify, as the Apostle Paul, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. What we can give to God is so small, so very small, compared to what He has given to us, I don't even know how to approach it anymore. So today I want to talk about three things that Dan exemplified in his life and that I was personally touched by. Let's start with the one that's so obvious with all of the fruit. June Barnett, in a Bible study one time, we were talking about how we are not to judge. She said, well, I'm not a judge, I'm a fruit inspector. Well, let's inspect some fruit out of the life of Dan Brokaw. We can do that, and you can help me. First of all, God uses our talents, the gifts and graces that He gives to each of us, and then that's not by mistake. He expects us to use them. He's disappointed when we don't. I believe Dan got as much out of his talent and his gifts and graces as anyone I've ever known. I believe that he was disciplined, he was dedicated, he was long-suffering, and even at the expense of his own schedule, his own personal relationships, and even his own health, he put the ministry that God had called him to ahead of all of that. Always. Not just when it was convenient or when he felt like being a martyr. It was always. And that's an example that we need to learn from. When Henry Wadsworth Longfellow was a young man, he expressed himself in a letter to his father, "I am not sure as yet for what my talents fit me, but I'm determined to be eminent in something." Good advice. What would you say Dan was eminent in? Because it's not going to be one thing. It's not going to be a consensus. Was he a great friend? He absolutely was. Was he a great music minister? Was he a great choir director? Boy, he used to love to make that distinction whenever a senior minister slighted him somehow. I'm no minister here, I'm just the choir director. Yeah. In the last 5 years since I left the service here, I have watched him grow in his ministry, become even more accomplished at the pastoral care that he was already an expert at. If that's not correct English, I'm sorry. He also became a great presider over funerals. He became a person that was a resource, another talent that he had all along that was not always utilized to its fullest, to make sure that the grieving and hurting people of this congregation got the care that he thought they deserved, whether they did or not. Is that right? Was he there when you didn't expect him to be? Yes. Was he there more than he had to be? Yes. And was he there long after you expected him to be? That's Dan. He didn't quit. He didn't give up, and he didn't stop just because protocol or just because what seemed right was enough. He kept going because he needed to be convinced that your needs were cared for. I truly believe that God has endowed each of us with capacity, with potential, with talent to become eminent in something, but to become so powerfully eminent in the areas that Dan did, I think is a lot to ask for. And he was a huge heart walking around trying to care for his flock, the people that God sent to him and in his life. Listen, they weren't all church members. You know that. Some of you are in here right now. If a band director was struggling and needed some help, he was there. He was there not just to recruit for the choir trip. He was there because there was a need and he had a talent. Okay, you got it. I can attest that he was falsely accused of doing a lot of things. And he was also not falsely accused of doing a lot of things. He was wise, but he was tender. He was sharp as a knife when he needed to be, but he was as warm as the cushy pillow if the need was greater for that. It didn't matter if you were an adolescent trying to figure out life, or if you were going through a broken marriage or a financial struggle or a loss of a spouse or a loss of a job. It didn't matter. If the hurt was there, he wanted to try in whatever way he could to heal it. We talked a lot about that. We thought the ministry of our church and the ministry of our life was to do what Jesus did, which was to find a need and fill it, or find a hurt and heal it. And if you did that, everything else would take care of itself. So that's the talent. He was immensely talented, and he used his talents to the glory of God as much as anyone I have ever known. What's next? I couldn't think of the right word, so I'm just going to lump it all under the umbrella of loyalty. Loyalty. How do you serve one United Methodist Church? Well, we should ask. Well, we won't. But we should. How do you serve in one church for 34 years? That's not our tradition, is it? Not as an appointed minister. No, you're not going to. I'm not going to. I don't think. It's not in the cards. But he did. And he did at some cost to himself. And I want you all to not feel guilty about that, because he absolutely rejoiced that he had the opportunity to serve at Conyers First. Please don't misunderstand that. He absolutely loved every bit of it. But the fact is, his loyalty went deeper than that. Many of you have had a relationship with him from the very first week that he stepped into ministry here at Conyers First. I wasn't one of those people, but my parents were big fans and said, oh, this is going to be a great thing. We have a new music ministry. Looks like Robert Redford. Really? Yeah. Well, you don't know how much Dan hated that, but it's been said many times. The thing about Dan was, if you gave him a confidence, it was secure. It stayed in confidence, but he wanted to encourage you not to bury things that needed to come out. I used to challenge him. He used to bury things for himself that he was struggling with, and he wouldn't let them out. So we used to have rather, okay, I'm going to call it spirited fellowship rather than arguing. We had spirited fellowship about, please let go of the things that are preventing you from rejoicing in your work. And he began to do that. He learned to do that. He was getting better at that. Did you see it? Did you see it in his countenance? Did you see it in his face? There are some families sitting out here right now that loyalty goes beyond the definition. He became adopted members of their family, and they adopted him. You know who I'm talking about, and it's really not just one or two. There are more, but there are a few that were really deep and abiding. You know who you are, you know how much you were loved, and you probably don't know how much he cherished the love that you sent back his way. He could be so lonesome in the midst of a sea of gratitude and love coming back from his church family. How can that be possible? It's one of the great ironies of life. How can we not allow each other to feel alone when there is so much to give? I want to challenge you this morning that in the name of Jesus Christ and by the example of Dan Brokaw, if you know somebody today that is struggling with that, call them, send a note, go see them, do whatever, and say, Dan told me to do it. You don't have to say me. You say, Dan told me to do it. They'll know what you mean. They'll know exactly what you mean. And that's because his undying loyalty was always first and foremost to his life's ministry and his work here with the people. He wasn't trying to make Conyers First United Methodist Church the very best church in all of Christendom. What he was trying to do is make the people of Conyers First Methodist feel the love and saving grace of Jesus Christ in every way he could imagine. Was he successful? I think so. Was he powerful in his example? Absolutely. Was he perfect and we should deify him today? No way. Absolutely not. In fact, he's already mad. Just to see this many people take time out of their week to come and honor him, he would, you know how he was. He hated attention, but he thrived on
Amen.
It. How does that work? He hated to be the center of attention, but he wanted that more than anything else. Okay, don't feel like he's the only one. There's a lot of us out here. So be careful what you say and be careful how you say it, because it's important to Dan that whatever it is and however it comes about and whatever the final product and final result is, was it the best that you had to offer? Because that's what he believed Jesus Christ and his church deserved. And that's what he spent his life doing. Okay. I don't want to go on all day. I actually could. All of you that were there on Sunday, there's a time afterwards where we'll get to share even more. And there is no end to the number of stories. But so we had talent, we have loyalty, and then the one that is driven by the very verse that I read. It was his great love. His great love for who? I think he had the order correct. I really do. You remember the word joy? Jesus first, others second, yourself last. He did that. He actually taught me that. In fact, there was a great story on beginning on a choir tour that almost got canceled because not enough people came to rehearsal often enough. Anybody hear that? If you miss one more, you're not going to go. We're trying to do something good here. Remember the What Would Jesus Do movement when it came out? We all had bracelets and there were necklaces and all that. And he did one of the most powerful devotions I'd ever heard. It took less than 5 minutes. He says, guys, we're going to go out on the road. We're going to see people that we've never met before and may never see again. Please don't let What Would Jesus Do be a slogan or something to put on your t-shirt or wear on your necklace. In fact, I don't even want to hear you say it to each other unless you're doing it. Don't tell me what Jesus would do. Do what Jesus would do. Wasn't that what he encouraged you to do? Wasn't that what he expected when you went out on the road? To represent not only Conyers First Methodist or the choir or the music ministry, but Jesus Christ himself. Through the ministry of the music and of the action and everything that went with it. Folks, there are few people in your life that you will meet that had the kind of talent, loyalty, and love, and be willing to share it all to the point of emptying himself in order to be filled up again by his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We all have that same opportunity. I want to encourage you not to shrink from it. Use the example of the life of Dan Brokaw as a way to live in the Spirit with like-mindedness of all of the other believers so that the world might be drawn closer, both in number and in depth, to a relationship with our risen Lord. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Hear now the prayer of commendation. Into thy hands, O merciful Savior, we commend thy servant Dan. Acknowledge, we humbly beseech thee, a sheep of thine own fold, a lamb of thine own flock, a sinner of thine own redeeming. Receive him into the arms of thy mercy, into the blessed rest of everlasting peace, and into the glorious company of the saints of light. Amen. And I invite you to join me as together we pray the collect for God's grace and mercy in our lives, saying, O Lord, support us all the day long of this troubled life until the shadows lengthen and the evening comes and the busy world is hushed and the fever of life is over and our work is done. Then of thy mercy, grant us a safe lodging and a holy rest and peace at the last. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The very last time I saw Reverend Dan, those of us gathered about him at Rockdale Medical Center ICU, I offered him this blessing, the blessing that I offer to you today. And now, as always, my friends, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you, his healing and approving smile. And best yet, give you peace, perfect peace. As I reached out and anointed him on the forehead, I mark you now as God's very own. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.